Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode.
If we're going to create content, then we have to be intentional with it, because let's not contribute to that content format on the internet, please. Like, none of us want to be recipients of it. None of us want to be the vomiters on there. Like, let's actually create content that will get the attention of the people that we want from our corner of the internet.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Are you feeling lost in the world of AI? Are you maybe curious about the techniques about using AI and social strategy together? Or maybe you're wanting to elevate your social media game and stand out in the sea of sameness that most AI-generated posts look like? Well, if those questions resonate with you, then you are in for a fantastic episode. Today, we're excited to welcome two experts who have mastered the art of social media strategy and technology. Katie Brinkley is back with us, as well as Deidre Sheen will be joining us today to share their journey, insights, and top tips for social media and AI to grow your brand and business. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. This is going to be amazing.
Thanks for having me back.
Like you said, yes.
I walked in the door. I just can't get moving
right,
here.
That's right. Exactly.
And now I brought friends.
That's right. And with her cheese and coffee. We got to do a whole show about that. Connor, let's get this party started. So,
no, our guests. I love a full house. Four guests. Let's start with Deidre. If you don't know Deidre, you should. Deidre Sheen is the co-founder and CEO of CapShow, which is an AI-powered content marketer that helps entrepreneurs who podcast, vlog, and live stream create repurposed content that converts. She's also the creator of the Honey Trap Method and author of Honey Trap Marketing. As a serial entrepreneur, she's founded and led 7 businesses across 5 industries in the last 9 years and has navigated the entire spectrum of experiences and emotions that comes with starting, running, closing, and exiting businesses. We are so excited to have her on today. Dee, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I do like how you just went with Dee. It's safe bet. Just
that's what somebody's going to be doing the rest of the show. Yeah, because like Chris Stone says, you know, AI can't mispronounce names like Jeff can. That is true. So on that note, she has been here. She is a regular guest on our show. If you don't know Katie Brinkley, though, she is the author of The Social Shift and is redefining social media marketing with less is more philosophy. With 2 decades of experience, she innovates with a unique 4-post strategy. We're going to be talking all about that today. She uses it to foster growth with minimal posting. Her platform agnostic approach and journalism skills have helped brands like AT&T and DirecTV to achieve their goals efficiently. Katie excels in storytelling, guiding clients from solopreneurs to corporates and capturing their ideal audience and driving tangible results while posting less. Katie, once again, thank you for being on the show. You're always amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me back, guys. It's always a pleasure to sit down with both of you. And yeah, this should be fun today.
It's going to be a blast. I can already tell. One of the things I do want to do is shout out to our sponsor of the show, Ecamm. You can find out more about them by going to ecamm.com/Jeff. Save 15% by using the code Jeff15. And by the way, they've got an amazing camp coming up October 11th through 13th. You can find out more about that. It's going to be parties, food, fun, learning, workshops. It is amazing. Camp is at, you can go to ecamm.com/camp, as well as I am doing a contest. If you go to jeffc.com/win, you can enter to win a free ticket to Creator Camp. That's right, folks, a free ticket to Creator Camp. People like Connor Brown is going to be there, as well as myself and Ian and Luria and all the people that you know and love. So make sure you guys go to check that out, jeffc.com/win. I've got little secret codes that I'm going to put at the end of the show today that you'll be able to add for more entries, as well as sprinkle through my podcast, through my website. So it's kind of like a scavenger hunt. So take a look around and see if you can find all the bonus codes for all of the entries. All right. Back to our regular scheduling programming. that app that Paul Gowder told me about is really, really cool. So for anything, if you don't want to enter, just go check it out, because it's really, really cool how all that stuff works. So let's get this kicked off. Social strategy and tech. This is a really interesting subject, and I'm glad both of you agreed to come on, because the way you do it, I think, is very, very unique. Because of all of the apps that come out, all the ways that all the gurus are telling us to use AI to do all the things, write our emails, do our social posts, do our laundry, everything it's telling us, you know, we can use AI for. I wanted to kind of dive into this because I think there's so much that we get wrong about that when we think we can just copy and paste. And I think we're going to dive into that really deep today. But I want to first start with Katie. Your four-post strategy, which is built into one of the tools we're going to talk about in the second segment, but talk about your four-post strategy, because it's kind of unique. It's really cool. Your book is based on it, but kind of give us a rundown on that.
Yeah, so the four-post strategy is designed for people to post less on social media. I think that during COVID, we all turned into little content-generating machines because we couldn't leave our house, and it was really our only way to see what was happening in the outside world. And now that the world has opened up, you know, it's been 4 years, a lot of people are still in that mode of, well, I need to create more. I need to create more. And it's a lot of the content just sucks. And so how can you make content that your ideal clients want to see, your biggest fans want to see, your friends want to see in their feed? And it's by knowing exactly what they want to see, how you can help them. And it's not by posting more, it's by posting the content that converts. And so the four-post strategy is really designed to use the algorithm to your benefit on these platforms so that you can take people from just scrolling through, killing time, to saying like, well, how do I sign up? How do I learn more? I didn't even know I had this problem, but teach me. And it works. People see great results by posting less because they're posting content that people actually want to engage with.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Her book's really good, by the way. It dives into this really in depth. So make sure that you guys check that out.
And there's
out.
A great review at the very beginning from a Mr. Jeff C. right here.
See, ChatGPT is so good. It just spits that stuff out.
No, you're supposed to read it.
I'm just teasing. I was talking about my review. I just said, oh, give something good to Katie and see what happens. See, and you get printed.
You never know. Gonna hit. You gotta keep your cards up. So Katie, I don't want you to give away the whole thing so that, you know, people actually read the book, because it is awesome. But with the four post strategy, is it different types of posts? Is it different like styles of content? And you talk about, you know, posting less is more, but is there still like a frequency and a structure to this strategy that you've implemented?
Yeah, it definitely is designed so that you can use one or two platforms and not be on all of the platforms. I think that it's a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's so easy with schedulers. And I mean, I use a scheduler too. I know a lot of them. They're great. However, all these platforms have different ways of maximizing your reach, of creating content. And so it's designed to say, okay, well, right now on LinkedIn, polls are getting the most reach. So how can we jumpstart the algorithm at the beginning of the week, making people problem aware? Well, let's do it with a poll. And then the same with Facebook. It's the simple, you know, like one sentence Facebook text with a different colored background. Those get the most reach. So it's designed to make people problem aware. Very simple question or poll that anybody can just say me or yes or no. You're not asking them for their life story. It's a very simple way of engaging with your audience. And it kind of jumpstarts you in the algorithm for the rest of the week and the rest of the content that you're going to be creating.
So Dee, I want to get your thoughts on this in the next section, because I know there's, I'm kind of teasing it ahead of time, but there's some really cool stuff that your tool does based on this concept. But real quick, Katie, we got my friend Pat Mills here watching on YouTube saying, I'm ready to get the book. Make sure you give the link today. Can you tell people where they can get the book if they want it?
Yes. Yes. You can go to katiebrinkley.com/book and you can get the paperback or the hardback. Or if you're an ebook reader, you can get it on Amazon.
Yes, it really is really good. I was giving her a hard time before, but it is a really good book. And I actually had to get it with Kindle because I took so many notes. You know, I've talked about it before. I highlight things and it goes to Notion and all this stuff because it really is. There's a ton of great takeaways in that book. So thank you, Pat, for that. So Katie, I want to kind of jump ahead and talk a little bit about, like, when people start doing the four post strategy, what are some mistakes that they do that you see them, you know, when they first get started? Are there things to avoid when you start this new four post social strategy?
Well, this is actually one of the things that Deidre and I talked about when we were working together, was you're reverse engineering people on the customer journey. So what is the end goal of that you want people to take? Do you want them to sign up for your newsletter? Do you want them to watch your live stream, listen to the podcast, sign up to book a call with you? What is the end goal? And then when you know that, you're reverse engineering your way back to that first post, and you're using your long form content, whether it's a podcast, a live stream, a blog, any of that, you're using that to create the rest of the content. And it's really designed so that you can set up your audience to be like, oh, well, finally, she's telling me how to buy from her or how to get this tool or whatever. You're taking them along the journey and really getting the right people raising their hand. I think that the biggest mistake is people not realizing that they can promote other things than their long form content at the end of the week. You mm-hmm. know, there's so much more other than just listen to the podcast. I mean, I want more people to listen to my podcast, but everyone please listen. But I mean, like, this, at the same time, I'm creating that long form content. How can I, you know, use that long form content to make people actually give me their money and mm-hmm. and sign up or join my email list, whatever. And you think of your long form content as the means to having people sign up to go one step further with you.
With that, is there like a strategy that you find is just too much, like posting too much to overwhelm someone? Or I know the four post strategy, it's beyond just four posts, but you know, how much is too much when it comes to like inundating your audience with posts and content and different sort of tactics?
You know, the four post strategy is designed for people to only post 3 to 4 times a week. That's okay. All that I have the capacity for with my business, because I have a business to run, and you know, I'm trying to send out emails. I wrote a book last year. I'm trying to do all these things. I don't really don't have time to be creating daily TikTok videos, and I don't have time to be writing a blog every day. I don't have time for that. I do 2 podcast episodes a week. That's a lot of content. And so it's designed for people to only post 3 or 4 times a week so that you can focus on the other aspects of your business. Now, if you have a dedicated team that can help you implement these strategies, or that can help you with other aspects of your business so you can show up on social media more, go for it. However, studies have shown that posting 3 to 4 times a week is just as effective as posting daily. And in fact, the CEO of Instagram just said you only need to post on Instagram around 3 to 4 times a week. So the daily posting, nobody really wants that unless you're an influencer. I mean, like, that's a completely different strategy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where it's gotten muddled, is we see these influencer strategies where it's like, do a reel every day for the next 365 days and you're going to, you know, go viral. It's like, well, yeah, it's like buying a lotto ticket every day. So, I mean, like, this is where it's designed to, again, work for the business owner.
Yeah. And that's so true, because I remember, like, at the beginning of this year, I said, so I had John Loomer on, and he was like, yeah, do a, you know, a thing every day. And John's great, don't get me wrong. And he's got it down. I said, I'm going to try to do a reel every day for a month. I mean, I lasted like a week, and that was about it. And I didn't have the capacity. And that was okay. It's okay to say, like, that experiment didn't work. It wasn't a failure. It just was an experiment that did not work. So that leads into, because I want to talk about that frequency, especially with you, Dee, because you have this great new tool that makes it pretty easy to come up with great four-post strategies, like, on the fly. It's really cool. So I got access to it a couple days ago, and it is really, really cool. And it's just the beginning. So I want you to talk a little bit about Capsho Next Gen and how it differs from the original platform, like what it does, and then like what's this new Next Gen, because it is kind of exciting.
It is. Thank you. And thanks for having me. Gosh, this, it's bright. This is like the Austin sun is suddenly just decided to make a return. So in terms of like, I'll get to what Capsho Next Gen is, obviously, but like the journey of, and when I was listening to Katie, I was like, oh my gosh, so much of this stuff rings so true. You know, when I started podcasting, my own podcasting journey, you know, I subscribed to that whole theory of like content domination and you've got to be on everywhere all at once. And oh my gosh, like it was insane because it ended up burning myself and my whole team out trying to do the, we were doing the thing. We were going to be on TikTok every day and on Instagram every day. And then not only that, but we were looking at our stats and trying to optimize. And oh, it just, it literally was not good. And that's actually kind of how Capsho, the first iteration came about, because I was like, there's got to be a better way of doing this. And, you know, I have a background in corporate, you know, over a decade ago. I was in the innovation team in a bank, and I was already looking at use cases for AI and things like that. And when I came across this problem, I was like, oh, this is a perfect use case for AI. And so we launched in July 2022. And then, you know, everyone knows that then ChatGPT launched. That was, I think that it was in November 2022. And, you know, that really then, the hype of AI really took off, as we all know. And the problem at that point I saw was like, oh my gosh, like all of the AI created content was starting to converge and look the same. And so the next iteration of Capsho was really about solving for that issue, which is, okay, well, how do we help people who are using Capsho, we call them Capshovians, actually differentiate their content from just the AI, you know, because we can start to see the AI generated content that was out there and what that looked like and how that read. And then fast forward, and I sat back again, and I was looking at, you know, what we were doing and how we're doing and feedback from our users, and realizing that we were actually unintentionally contributing to what I call the content vomit on the internet, where it was just like, because it became so easy theoretically to create content now using AI, people were just like, it was almost like, I don't care what it is, I'm just going to put something out there, and I'm just going to keep doing it. And so when I looked at that, I was like, and that, and, you know, Katie came into my life, you know, like, and, you know, we connected so deeply on this whole, like, content should not be created for content's sake. I truly, truly, we both fundamentally believe this. Like, if we're going to create content, then we have to be intentional with it, because let's not contribute to that content vomit on the internet, please. Like, none of us want to be recipients of it. None of us want to be the vomiters on there. Like, let's actually create content that will get out, like, we'll get the attention of the people that we want from our corner of the internet, right? It doesn't have to be everyone. It just has to be the people that we want to reach. And then let's actually have them connect with us at a deep level. And because of that connection, they're going to want to take the action that we want them to take. That is what, you know, and that's why we then, from a Capsho perspective, was like, yes, this is what we want to do. We actually want to not help people just create content and repurpose and do that thing. It's like, I mean, yes, we're helping people repurpose, but we're helping them repurpose with a goal. And that goal is to get more clients. And so that's what Capsho Next Gen is designed to do. So what we ended up doing was, we, at the end of last year, we were just like, you know what, we're going to burn Capsho to the ground and completely rebuild. Because, you know, anyone who's been in software, It's a pretty common, I realize this, it's a pretty common story. I thought we were the only ones, like, you know, every other good founder out there, where I was like, oh my gosh, why are we the only ones who feel like we created this? You know, we ran really hard to go to market and to launch. And what happens when you do that with software is that you actually create a lot of dirty code, which ends up being really buggy. And so we got to the point where it was like, okay, we have to actually rebuild. And the great thing about the rebuild opportunity was we could actually step back and go, okay, if we were to envision, like, what is the actual, the platform that we want to, that we see kind of leapfrogging where we are right now, that's what we want to build. And so that's what Capture Next Gen is. And my coach was like, don't call it Capture Next Gen because you're setting, you know, certain right. expectations. Like, no, I want to call it Next Gen because I want to hold ourselves accountable to this being actual next generation. And so what that means and looks like is, like, yes, the assets that we create is going to be intentional. It is going to be outcome driven. It's going to be results driven. Again, that is what Katie and I vibe so closely with. And so that's why I was like, I worked with Katie. She helped me implement the four post social media strategy for my own account. I saw amazing growth, like literally like the engagement. I know Katie, when we're working, every time we work together, you know, I'd show my results and you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, it's like double, not just double digit, like triple digit percentage growth on engagement, on reach, things like that. It was insane. And I got it. Like, I actually understood what it then means to be social on social media. You know, when mm-hmm. people say, yeah, you got to be social. And I was mm-hmm. like, I don't know what that means. But the four post social media strategy actually helped me understand what that meant. And so I was like, there was this opportunity as we were rebuilding Capture to be like, okay, let's actually just embed this strategy. And Katie was like, yes, please, like, let's go for it. Like, let's embed this because we could actually help so many more people, like, do really, really great things with their content and actually help them convert. And so, you know, that's just one part of what's coming, what we have in Next Gen. You know, the thing that I get most excited about, which I think is just a nerdy thing, to be honest, is like the Next Gen is, it's all about intelligence, right? Like, our whole thing is be intelligently lazy. That's why we have, you know, Monty our sloth. It's because we're building the whole platform to be completely self-learning, which means that the edits that you make in there, you know, from either tone of voice or structure perspective, or, you know, even catchphrases and things like that, that make you, the platform actually automatically learns and starts to apply that the more that you use it and edit it. And so that is the type of stuff that I nerd out about, to be like, okay, this is how we actually become truly next gen. How do we truly help people not only with the efficiency that AI can help, but actually with the quality uplift as well. So it's kind of getting the best of both worlds, which I'm super excited about.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is really cool. Even in the beta that I've been playing with, like I said, it's a lot of fun, and it's not just spitting I've tried all the AI tools, everything, and it's not just spitting out the AI stuff that you normally get. So very, very cool.
Well, can I just say really, really, sure. really quick here. One of the things about AI that I think we all need to keep in mind is that just because we can right. do it, that doesn't mean we should. And when this is one of the things, like, attention entrepreneurs and megaphone emoji, you know, right. unleash the unlocking power yeah. of demystifying your treasure trove. I mean, like, right. just because, like, you can post that stuff or that it's giving you this content doesn't mean that it's going to convert. That just is more white noise, and it's going to make people scroll right past you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's by having the content that, oh, it jumps out. Wait, but this is for me. And this is where I love that, you know, Capshow and Deidre and the team, they took that step back as an AI company and said, okay, just because we can create all this content from a podcast or a live stream doesn't mean that we necessarily should.
Right. So yeah. This is really, I want to just a second, I'm sorry, but this is really funny because Chris Stone actually, because I fell into that trap. Like, I was one like, oh gosh, I hate writing emails. I hate writing my show notes. I can just hit it into AI and it's going to be done. And I did that for a while, and it was, you know, it was okay. But then I noticed, like, everybody's doing that. I can't stand out it anymore. And even Chris Stone the other day wrote, he says something I wrote in my email about vomiting. He goes, that sure wasn't AI. And so that's what, you know, that's what I wanted. Like, you want that in your content. And Chris, and by the way, Chris had a great reel that he did. So wherever you're watching from, Chris, drop that in the comments so other people can watch it, because it's really good about AI. But yeah, so I think what you're saying is so true, is that just because we can doesn't mean we should. And that's a very, very important point to make. So, sorry, Connor.
And the last Yeah, in the last 3 years, there's been so many people that have reached the summit. Reach the summit of marketing success. Reach the pinnacle.
Right.
It's like, we're just all reaching the summit now. You know, I never realized I could appeal to a phrase or kind of personify with a phrase as much as intelligently lazy. I think that that's going to become my life from now on. That is so, I love it. That's something that I can't create, right? Like that's, and that makes perfect sense to me too. Intelligently lazy. Dee, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but I'd love to know, how did you and Katie kind of join forces? Because you talked about reaching out to her for the four post strategy, but then kind of coming together to help build or recreate your platform. What's the story of you guys joining forces?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we met through a amazing mutual friend, Alex Sanfilippo from Podmatch. And he's amazing. So obviously he brings amazing people together, like Katie and myself. And we just hit it off, honestly. Like, I think, I don't know, Katie, I feel like it was just super organic. You know, I think in one of our interviews together, Katie, you coined us as business soul sisters, because we just like clicked. And then we were on the same page all the time about how we operate. You know, it's the same thing about Connor, you like loving the intelligently lazy, which by the way, check out this hoodie.
Oh, that's cool.
How good is, cool. But it was like, it's just around things like that where Katie and I just hit it off and we started working together in terms of like, I hired her to help us with our social media strategy. And then through that process, it was like, wow, this actually works and we can help so many people. And I wanted to help spread the word about what Katie does. And I'm on a mission to do that for sure.
Very cool. Well, I mean, the way I first got in contact with you, Dee, is I saw your emails. Like, your emails are really, really good. Like, it's not just blasting out about, you know, I have this new tool. It was actually good, thought out, funny, quirky kind of content that was really, really good. And that's what drew me in to check out Cap Show and then seeing all this stuff. So yeah, I think whatever she did, or maybe you were doing that before, it worked. So it's really, really good. Because this goes right into my friend Pat Mills over on YouTube says, she goes, I love this. Content shouldn't be busy work in hopes that anyone will read it and make, you know, it needs to have a purpose and make sure it is your purpose. So on that note, can you talk a little bit about like how this new Cap Show Next Gen helps entrepreneurs creates that content, especially with that four post strategy just kind of baked into it that Katie put together?
Yeah, for sure. So how Cap Show Next Gen works is that you upload an audio file and we will have video coming. I was just telling Jeff that we're literally working on that right now. And basically the first pass, you know, it learns your tone of voice, all of that sort of stuff. You create your persona. So that's one of the really cool features. This was some feedback we got from our other version of Cap Show, was like, I just really wanted to learn my voice. So we built that into Cap Show Next Gen. And then basically when you see what it creates for you from a social media perspective, it follows Katie's four post strategy. So it gives you an awareness post by platform. So, you know, when Katie was like, well, polls are working really well on LinkedIn, it will actually give you poll suggestions for LinkedIn. Or, you know, on Facebook, you know, unpopular opinions work really well as your awareness post. Capture Next Gen actually will give you unpopular opinions that you can post, that you can edit and post, you know. And then it also gives you the elaboration post, which is the second in the strategy. And then with the third one, which is a community post, and Katie and I always laugh about this because I was like, this was the one that I shied away from, but it's now become my favorite post. And that's what I'm telling all the Capshovians. I'm like, this one has to be your favorite post. But this is the one that AI honestly like cannot write for you, because this is the one where you're sharing either your personal stories or someone in your community's personal stories. Maybe it's social proof, maybe it's testimonial, maybe it's like, you know, a partnership. And AI can't write this for you because it literally does not know your memories. It does not know your experiences. So what Capture does instead is, based on the podcast episode or the YouTube video or the live stream that you created, it will actually kind of know, oh, hey, like you kind of mentioned this story, you started talking about this story, this could be an idea that you expand on for your community post. Or it will give you essentially ideas to actually start to kick off to, you know, as a thought starter for you to write your community post. And then the fourth post, which is the action post, is like because as part of the upload flow, it will actually ask you, what is the premise that you want to talk about that week? And what is that action that doesn't, it can be listen to your podcast, but it doesn't have to be. It can be like, hey, come join my workshop or buy my book or whatever. And it will actually align the four posts to that last action post so that it makes sense to drive people to do the thing that you want them to do. So yes, yeah, so that's how, you know, Capture Next Gen and Katie's strategy, honestly, actually helps people convert with their content.
Yeah, I wish I should have brought, it's a podcast, so it's hard to do a screenshot. But one of the things is, like, it when you put it, you walk through that process, it also has like a generic kind of tone of voice, but then you can really craft it to your own tone of voice. And then it breaks it down with, it does those four posts, like, you know, then it has the action post, which is like, oh, this is so cool how it all flows. And you don't see that. Most of the time we're putting in something and we're saying, okay, ChatGPT, crank out, you know, this one-time post. It doesn't have any of that strategy baked in, which is really, really cool. And I can't wait to when the video goes up and I can like repurpose stuff in the same way, because I'm big on repurposing content. So it's just, it was really kind of mind-blowing how just the beta stuff is working. So I'm excited to see this stuff. So Connor, go ahead.
I think there's still some, you know, Pat brings up a great point that might still be a little apprehensive to AI. You know, Pat says, I'm an old school programmer from the 1980s. They told us back then that AI would be coming in the future, but I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And here we are, and I still can't quite give into it. So I guess this is for both Dee and Katie. You know, for people who are in their ways, they know how to operate, they know what they're doing, they have their processes. How would you suggest to them to get started with AI for content creation or organization or whatever it is, dipping their toes into the AI waters?
Deidre, is okay if I go first? Because
yeah,
so here we go.
In Dallas at PodFest, oh no, Podcast Movement in, what was it, July of 22, mm-hmm. I was approached by these two sweet Australian ladies that had this cool new AI tool called CapShow, and they wanted me to give it a try. And I was like, that's okay. I like talking to you and hearing your accent, but I'm not going to do it. I don't need a robot to help me. And I was very against AI. I thought it sounded bad. It looked robotic. It couldn't write as good as me. And the amount of time I would spend trying to make it better, I could have just done it. And luckily, Deidre did not, you know, make fun of me when I came back and said, hey, can I just try that CapShow thing again? I know you offered it, you know, in beta when you were first launching it to me, but can I try it again? And she was very nice and said yes. And I've been a CapShow user ever since, because it's, if you're not using AI, well, you probably are and you don't realize it, but if you're not using AI in some regard or trying to just learn how to use it, you're going to get left behind. And these AI tools are moving so fast. I mean, no offense, right, Deidre, but I would hate to be and have an AI tool right now, just because they're learning and evolving so fast. It's hard to keep up with your competitors. And it's crazy on what it can do. And I was definitely one of those people that said, no, I don't need AI to help me. But once I started learning it and experimenting with it, you know, it's allowed me to scale my business. You know, I launched an entirely new division because I have AI to help me with different aspects of my business now.
Yeah. So Dee, one of the questions, I mean, we're in a room full of nerds here, right? Like, even, I mean, we are all sorts of crazy about AI and the next stuff and marketing and business stuff, but it is a big lift for a lot of people. I mean, we forget that it's a new technology, and some people still haven't heard of like ChatGPT even, like, you know, in the world. So what do you tell people like who say AI, why do I need that? Why do I need to pay for another subscription? Like, that's the big question everyone asks. Like, why do I need this? What is it going to do for me? Like Katie said, that I can't do for myself.
Yeah. And I think it really depends. So like I'm definitely not the, you've got to be on the AI train or you're going to be, you know, I think there are some people who it's fine to never, to not lean into the AI I'll call it hype, you know, the AI hype. Because if you know that you're not that going to be that person who wants to learn something new, because I'm going to be honest, like I was actually telling this story yesterday with Katie as well, but we just came from the CEX, so Joe Paluzzi's CEX conference for content entrepreneurs. And obviously the theme was all about AI. And I honestly expected to leave that conference with like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so easy. And you know, like all, like seriously, that's what I thought. And I actually left going, this is super overwhelming. And you can tell that, you know, the speakers who are amazing, by the way, but you can tell that they have an incentive to learn and go deep into AI because that's kind of what they're getting paid to speak about. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot, even as they're going through how they use AI, it's actually a lot of work to create your own custom GPTs, to train it, to, you know, to continue to like uplift it and work with it. And it's a lot of work. And so what I say is like, there are tools like Capture, which kind of bridge, we're kind of like in the middle because you don't have to do as much to get the uplift that, you know, by training an AI. But if you know that you still want to get efficiencies, you want to outsource, but AI or learning it, doing all of that is not going to be the way, then please, like, this is why agencies like Katie's right. are around yeah. and work so effectively is because it's AI is not going to be the be all and end all. I mean, it's going to become more and more pervasive, but as Katie said, I mean, even her agency uses AI. Right. So even if you don't want to be the one to learn it, that's totally cool. I'm never going to be like stand on a soapbox and be like, you got to learn this thing. I would just, you know, find the people who have learned it and do know it well and inside out and know how to use it effectively to get you your results and go hire them instead. Right. So that's in short me saying, go hire Katie.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the difference in the next section. But because, yeah, I should probably hire Katie actually. But anyway.
Let's go with D for this one. So I always hate the crystal ball question, but I'm going to ask the crystal ball question. And you can even pepper in, you know, how you see Capshow evolving, not only this next generation, but the next generation. How do you see, you know, AI evolving in the content creation space? Jeff makes a great point. For him, it's a lot of the blank page and kickstarting it. But beyond that, what kind of future developments can we expect from Capshow when helping entrepreneurs or marketers just create content?
Yeah, so definitely from a Capture perspective, you know, we're just going to continue going deep into content marketing because I know that there are others that are going breadth in terms of like, and we can help you with all like doing different cool things with, you know, but we're like, no, we're going to go deep into, we're just here to help people, entrepreneurs specifically, get more clients with their content. And so what that could look like is from a quality perspective, obviously, but also from an efficiency perspective. Like we really want to be able to tackle those two sides of the coin almost. Mm-hmm. And so that could look like just doing some foundational things around how do we just from a workflow perspective help that become a lot easier, but also from a qualitative, like from a deepening perspective, how do we actually start to help people with, because, you know, the more that people will use a platform like Capture Next Gen, the more that we can learn what it is, like who their audience is, what their areas of expertise really are. And then we can actually start to front load some of that thinking and help for them. You know, like we can start to actually recommend like, hey, here are some great topics. Here are some guests potentially that if you're not the expert, but we know that your audience wants to hear more about this thing, then here are some guests that you could lean on. And really start to help people with, and then with that comes, you know, whether people want to go live and depending on the medium that they want to then lean into more as well. It's like, how do we bring in more real-time capabilities, things like that. So that's kind of stuff that we're thinking about, like the different modes and mediums and just, yeah, helping people. At the end of the day, we just want people to live their full life. So it's kind of like, I know that Katie was saying before that she loves using AI because now it's like she can go to her daughter's softball games mm-hmm. and right. training. Like we want to, like, I think that's going to be honestly the future of where AI is going to help us. It's going to actually help us be more human, which is counterintuitive, right? Like we're going to be leveraging these machines to help us be more human in right. our lives. So yeah, I think that's, anyway, I kind of went on a bit of a tangent, but yeah,
that's where that's good. I love it. So Katie says, she goes, I feel the same way about the blank page. And also she has a great question. And I would love to know the answer to this as well. Why did you call it Cap Show? Why was the name Cap Show? Where did it come from?
Man, every time I get asked this question, I'm like, I wish that I had like a really, really cool answer. It honestly was just me, like, Bonner's my co-founder, which is the other Aussie girl that Katie was talking about. So we were just going on a walk. I remember that the moment we're in New York, because we used to live in New York before we moved to Austin, and we were going to get our weekly morning bagels, breakfast bagels. And we were like trying to come up with ideas. And I was playing around with, you know, like cap, because you know we knew that one we were going to help on the social media side, so it's like there's like this caption part of it, and then there's like a show part with podcast shows and YouTube shows and this, and then I think that's just you were just combined them, and I was like, okay, we'll just call it Cap Show.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's an origin story right there. I wanted, you touched on it in this last section, but first of all, I want to do a shout out to our sponsors. Once again, ecamm.com/Jeff gives you, if you use Jeff 15, 15% off your first purchase. And don't forget about Creator Camp, which is coming up in October, which I think they only have like 18 tickets left. Like, that's why you need to go and enter to win at jeffc.com/win.
Deidre, anyway, you should go to that. It'd be a blast.
Yeah, oh my gosh. You would love it. Yes. Yeah, you it's and you should too, Katie. Oh my gosh! I mean,
I know so that's the offline conversation,
anyway.
And I would love to go, but I can't.
One of the things that you touched about in the last section was when to outsource to an agency. And so, Katie, I mean, this is kind of a softball question because you're an agency, but you know, but there are times when should you do that? Is it when you get overwhelmed and you're like, I can't do it, Katie, take it? Or do you like, or do you, should you do that before it gets to that point? Like, when should you offload to this stuff and deciding when to use those AI tools versus, you know, go to an agency?
Oh man, that's a great question, because I think it all just comes down to your time and what your technology level is. Because full transparency, we migrated our CRM system over to Go High Level about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty good with tech, but it has been a giant struggle bus for me. And I'm at the point now where I'm like, all right, I just need to pay somebody to get us migrated, because it's been 3 weeks. You know, I can't take it anymore. And that's where, I mean, it's true. Like we all have our superpowers. I've learned that using an entire robust CRM system like Go High Level is not mine. So when you know, like, this isn't the best use of my time. And like, so we work with a lot of our clients where all they do is record their podcast, and we do literally everything else. So we do all the outbound engagement, all the inbound engagement, all the editing, all the show, like everything for them. And it really takes them maybe about an hour a month. And that hour a month is them recording their show. So I think that it just comes down to your time and what your capacity is. I mean, I love Gary Vee, but not all of us have a team of 20 to turn a 3-minute video of us going to a garage sale into 20 different pieces of content. Like, we just don't have that capability. So it comes down to time and what your strengths are. I mean, like we said here, CapShow is a great tool. It is easy to use. It's just one of those things where how much time do you have to give to this aspect of your business?
Right. Got it. So what would follow up with that, Dee?
I 100% agree. And you know, what Katie mentioned about doing inbound and outbound, like, this is the important thing that I think some of us don't realize about being on, you know, social media platforms and just marketing in general. It's like, the content is actually, I always say this, the content is just the beginning of what it is that we do. I always used to think it was the end. It was like, yes, I've published a thing and now I can like go and, you know, live my life. And it's actually not, that doesn't work that way if you actually want it to get results. So creating the content, like, yeah, you can leverage CapShow, you can leverage, you know, any other AI tool, but then it's like, do you actually have the time to then go in to engage, you know, back to find your ideal clients on these social media platforms, to reach out to them, to actually create to actually use social media as a lead gen machine rather than just a, I'm going to use it as like my soapbox, you know, my personal soapbox. Right. I'm just going to go out there and push things out. And I think that's a really, really good consideration, because if you find that you are just the person who is just pushing things out, then you may have to rethink your strategy. And maybe even if it's not your strategy, because you know that you shouldn't just be doing that, then, and it's a time thing, then it's like, that's when you know, talk to the experts, like actually right. leverage people who can put the time into it. Yeah. So that's what I say. That's what, and even if, and I know that, so Katie has an agency, but she also does other services. Like she does do consulting, she does do audits. I would say, even if you are going to leverage AI, I would still lean on someone like Katie to do, even if it's nothing else than to get an audit from her, because with all AI, it's kind of like rubbish in, rubbish out. I know that's a very Australian thing, like, right? It's like, what is this rubbish thing? Trash in, trash out. Is that, right. is that yeah. the American
word? Garbage, yeah. garbage in, garbage,
garbage
out.
Garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. yeah. Like if your anchor content, at least from a capture perspective, is going to be garbage, like what you get out of it is going to be garbage. And so at a very minimum, what I, you know, have a lot of conversations to capture events, and others about is like, hey, look, if you're finding that you're actually not getting the content that you would like to be creating, then just at least, you know, speak to someone like Katie to level set, get the foundations built, and then you can start looking at using AI to amplify that.
Yeah. Totally, totally. So it's funny what you were talking, like our amazing chat room is, you know, Chris says this AI is eventually going to be like electricity. The catchphrase element of it will dissipate and it will be there in most everything we do, which I think is so true. And then Katie says, I love lead gen rather than soapbox. That is a great way to think of it. And Chris also says, you know, great point. Using social media as a trumpet for content is not social at all. It's rubbish. Sounds like Ian is here, my friend Ian from the UK. Yes. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, how can entrepreneurs and, you know, small business owners or owners measure that effectiveness of AI-driven content strategies? Is it, would you measure it the same way? I know you guys are all like stat nerds and all that stuff. So do you measure it the same way as any other type of content that you're putting out there? Or do you have a different metric that you use to see if it's effective? I'll start with you, Katie Brinkley.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, that's a great question, because I love CapShow. I use it. I use AI all the time, but I still am going in and tweaking things. Like, so I mean, like, read it. Mm-hmm. Read it before you post it, you know? And if it doesn't, if it says delve and you never say delve, maybe remove that and change that word out. So, I mean, I've been measuring all of my content the same, because I am still humanizing it in some regard. So I guess that's a kind of a cop-out answer. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, because it's so new. I mean, I don't think we know. Does it? I would think that I would measure it the same way as I do any piece of content. But Dee, what do you say to that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Katie. Did you have a follow-up?
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, Austin Armstrong, you know, he does a lot more with like HeyGen kind of mm-hmm. AI, where it's mm-hmm. like video AI and stuff. And I mean, it's... his strategy is very, and you know, he and I are friends. Like we talk about it. He was like the second person to buy my book, you know, but we have a very different strategy where his is just more, 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 more. And he is testing AI versus, you know, human generated mm-hmm. content. And for the amount of content that he pushes out, I think that he's seeing a little bit of 50-50, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. the AI stuff does just as good as the real person stuff, but he posts like 10 times a day. So
yeah, that's
bound to have, I know, I don't know. Like, yeah, that gives me a headache just thinking about it. But I mean, it's, Dee, I'm curious mm-hmm. on what your thoughts are on it. But like I said, I think that the way that the four post strategy is built, it's designed to still give the metric, well, positive metrics, whether it's you posting it mm-hmm. and writing it or it's the AI outputs, because it is so natural. It is such a normal yeah. way of engaging online.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that's right. I think at the end of the day, when we think about metrics and stuff, it's sometimes hard to, it's easy to lose the fact that at the end of the day, we're still talking to another human. Like, I think right. it's sometimes it's like, oh, we're just trying to feed a machine, you know, to like get boosted or to get, you know, whatever. But yes and no, like maybe to begin with to a point, but at the end of the day, if other humans on the other side of it aren't engaging, if they aren't caring about it, if they just, you know, continue to swipe and scroll past, then it doesn't matter whether it's human generated or AI generated. It's just not gonna, it's not gonna be good content. So I think regardless of whether it's AI, and this is kind of, I think what Katie's saying is, it doesn't matter. Just think about creating good content for your person, for your audience. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. Just make sure it's good and something that they want to engage with. Yeah.
Totally agree with all that. Yeah.
I love that. I find like we're constantly fighting against the algorithm, right? To see what's working, what's a trend, what is that? And we're kind of consumed by that. We're not really focusing on, well, maybe I'm not doing this the right way, or maybe these tasks can be approached in a different way to kind of streamline things, which I think kind of goes into Jim's question here, which I think is awesome. He says, can AI tools ever help you figure out how to refine your business tasks to produce quality campaigns? Dee, I know you kind of mentioned, you know, Capshow maybe helping with organization and things like that, but what would you say to Jim's question there?
Yeah. So 100%. I mean, even now we do use it, so not inside of Capshow Next Gen yet, but as it from a business perspective, because we still run a business, right? So from like our own operations, we'll still like run some things. So, like some thoughts, or it's like, hey, we're thinking of this campaign. It's going to be laid out in this way. It's going to have these, you know, emails or whatever. It's going to be sequenced. So we've done a lot of thinking ourselves, but then we'll put it into like, say, a ChatGPT or Claude or something and be like, and, you know, how would you uplift it? Now we'll give it some guardrails and things like that. But, you know, and it does, there's some things that it says that we're going to be like, we're just going to ignore that. But then it does have some good things that was like, oh, cool. Like we wouldn't have thought about that. So if you can think of AI as like, just literally another person in the room with you. Like if you just picture like a boardroom table or something, and they're just occupying one of the seats there in that same meeting, like that's how I would leverage AI in. I never, you know, kind of, and this is again what Katie was saying in terms of like, we use it sometimes as thought starters, but we never use it to be like, I don't know anything about this. Can you just tell me? Because if you don't know anything about something, then, you know, you should probably learn first before trying to just outsource it to AI.
right. I totally agree. And once again, it kind of goes back to the, you know, the blank page thing. Like it helps you, it kind of guides you. You can, it's a great brain, helping you brainstorm things. I mean, to be honest, Meta is using it for ads right now. I mean, if you've been doing any sort of advertising, you've been using AI, and they're even continually using that to get it better and better and serve it to the right people and helping you with conversions and all that stuff. But that's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. This has been a fascinating talk, but I want to give you guys plenty of time to tell people where they can find you. I will start with you, Katie Brinkley, because you've been on the show so much, you know.
Thank you. Yeah.
So where can people find out you, what you're doing, and where they can find out your services?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks again so much, both of you, for having me back. It's always a pleasure to start my Friday mornings with you guys. So thank you so much. You. Yeah, you can connect with me at katiebrinkley.com, and you can get my book at katiebrinkley.com/book. And that's for the real book, like the paperback or hardcover. Or if you are more of a Kindle person, then you can get it off of Amazon. But yeah, thanks so much for having me, and check me out at katiebrinkley.com.
And you also got a podcast. Tell people where you can find that.
I do. Yeah, there's like I think three amazing episodes where Jeff C is a guest. And yeah, so you can get that on all of your favorite podcast players or YouTube at Rocky Mountain Marketing.
Awesome. Dee, where can people find out all about this Capshow that you speak of and the next generation that's coming?
Yeah. So if you just go to capshow.com, all the call to actions should have been updated to join the wait list for Capshow Next Gen. So as Jeff mentioned, we are in beta. It's just for a select group of people right now who are trying it, breaking it, all of that, and giving us feedback. And so get on the wait list, because then you could become one of the first to either try beta or to try it live when we launch it shortly.
Yeah, it's awesome. And thank you for letting me have a sneak peek, because it's been really cool to see how it's working. Connor Brown, the unsinkable Connor Brown. I can't talk today. Where can people find out about you and all your vacation services?
Yes, absolutely. We announced it last week on the show. had a bit of a rebrand. It's called vacationkingdoms.com. Head over there and shoot me an email, Connor, C-O-N-O-R at vacationkingdoms.com. When you check out the website, let me know what everybody thinks. Awesome, awesome show today. Such a fun conversation we had.
It has been. And of course, our amazing friends, we couldn't do this without you. Thank you, Gary. Gary goes, the internet gods were with us this week. Yes, last week we had a little bit of an issue with cows kicking over my internet or something. And Gary even says, love listening to Katie's podcast. Well, they got a big shout out there. Jim, thank you for your question. Chris, as always, Katie, Jim Fuse, everybody who showed up and who's watching the replay, we appreciate you. Do not forget about our friends over at eCam, ecam.com/Jeff, and their new camp that's coming out in October. And by the way, don't forget jeffc.com/win, where you can enter to win a free ticket to eCam's creator camp. It's around $700, I think it's worth. So check that out. And also, here's the code for you guys for extra bonus today, ZT3TYA. I guess they say Zed in the UK, so we'll just ZT3. That's for my friend Ian Anderson Gray, who's listening. So with that, you guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.